Welcome to episode 76 of the Analog Assault Podcast. This week, mayhem is on the menu, but there's been a lot of other things cooking in the gaming world this September, and we're going to talk about what's hot and what's not. So grab a drink, shoot a tink, and let's go.
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us for episode 76 of the Analog Assault Podcast. Guys, how's everything going?
Man, it's been awesome.
Boy, howdy has it been. It's been absolutely badass.
so we're going to talk about all of the things badass. It's been a little while since we all got together. Everyone's been catching up with school, changing of the seasons, and it seems to get
life
everybody
things.
Sick. Yeah, yep. Right. Right. So I think Mule's been sick the last couple weeks. I know my kid was sick for the school thing. How has September been for everybody so far?
So far it's actually been a little bit nicer weather here. I'm sure right? Dog's just loving it for his practice.
I don't know necessarily, because some days it's been like super hot.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I got this tan line. Like, it looks like I'm wearing a shirt all like a white shirt all the time.
So like, you're my days. Color, but because of this tan you're getting.
That, I mean, there's a huge difference here.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Like a mega difference.
Get yourself a little farmer's tan going there.
Oh, it's
yeah.
Full
my,
on.
My New York indoor complexion doesn't compare.
But yeah, it's been too pretty good. Today was actually really nice. I don't know if it did it rain down there for you, dog.
Oh yeah, we practiced in the rain today. I got soaked. Had to wear wet clothes to school today. It sucked.
That's awesome. No, it was super cold up here. Like, it's officially hoodie weather in New York, and I couldn't be more excited. That usually means all of the good things are coming. You know, like the holidays. My birthday's in October, so that's something I always look forward to.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. You know, not having the oppressive heat or 100% humidity has been absolutely fantastic. Besides other things that aren't great, it being cooler is definitely something that's
improving. Can smell the pumpkin spice.
On every, you know, street corner, yep. Yes.
Yes, and every kid's, like, back when I lived in my previous location, kids would bring those pumpkin spice lattes to school every day, and it just fills the smell up at the school. I got sick of it after a week.
I bet.
I'm sure. Ooh. All right, so before we get into conversation, we'll do a little housekeeping. If you guys want to call into the show, leave us a voicemail. You can call in at 512-571-3907. We also want to take this time to bring up the fact, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go over to patreon.com/mulehorngaming to get all the details. Once again, make a shout out to our gold level supporter for the month, #SlingSlasher. So, guys, let's talk about, I mean, normally we talk about games and stuff,
yeah.
You know, what we've been playing this week, but I think we're going to do so much of that when we recap all the games.
Yeah.
What have you been watching? Dog, what have you been watching this week?
Honestly, and you're going to hate me for this, I need to watch a lot more of my Black Clover stuff and my Fire Force stuff.
You're still not caught up?
I am now 2 weeks behind on my Fire Force stuff. And, you know, I want to watch it, but every time that I get home, I want to play games. And the only time that I can watch stuff these days is, like, Saturday mornings. And I'm like, I'm asleep most of that time. So
you get to that point where you're like, you know what, I'll just like watch one episode before I go to bed, just so I can, like, keeping up with it. And then, like, you'll get about 7 minutes into it and you'll pass right out. Like, I know that happens to me way too often than I'd like to honestly admit.
I know. I want to watch more. I will watch more. I will get caught up. Just don't know
when. My problem is that, like, this week especially, I'm like, we get done with what we're doing for gaming, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get off, I'll go watch something. And I'm like, you know what? I'm by myself. It's a lot easier to farm specific bosses when you're solo. Let me just go do a couple runs. 30 runs later, I'm like, I should probably go to bed now.
Right. That's how a lot of things have been for me as well. It's like you want to just do a little bit mm-hmm. more, and then you just get push yourself a little bit farther. Yeah. But Crow, what have you been watching?
I've been keeping up with my animes a little bit better than Dog. I think I'm up
a lot better
to par. I might be one episode behind on Black Clover. I'm not 100% sure if I watched it this week. But I'm really engrossed into Astro Lost in Space. Because, like, at first it's like, eh, it's kind of just this weird, like, anime version of, like, the classic Lost in Space. And then you're like, wait, what? They're what? Like, I'm not going to say anything because I think you're going to try and watch at some point, Lupo. But, like, the last episode, I'm like, huh? That's why? Oh, okay, this is going somewhere now. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm really enjoying that. And recently, I don't know if I've talked about it. I don't even know if I've mentioned it on the podcast. I started watching Game of Thrones. And boy, have I been binging that. I'm on the last season. I think I've only got like 4 episodes left. And I started this less than a month ago.
Yeah.
And boy, is it good. Like, I know a lot of people were saying they did not like the final season, but like, I can understand it definitely makes a big tonal shift, but it's still pretty good. Like, I'm still really enjoying that. What about you, Lupo?
I mean, same thing. Like, I do the weekly animes. You know, we were discussing on the podcast a couple weeks ago about, like, whether we'd want to binge or whether we'd want to mm-hmm. do, you know, weeklies of watching, like, Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm doing both right now, actually. So like, same thing. Like, Anime is taking a lot of my, like, watching time.
Yeah.
You know, if I devote a bunch of time to watching something, I'm watching animes. Because there's just so much that, like, because I've only recently gotten to anime, like, over the last, like, 6 months or so. So there's a lot of, like keystone, like, animes that you have to watch.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm also trying to keep up with stuff that's current. So I'm watching Fire Force, which is, like, really fantastic. That's, like, I usually do, like, as soon as I get home on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch Dr. Stone the same Friday.
Yep.
But that's, like, I'm halfway between here and there on that. And then Sunday, it took me, like, a month, but I watch every episode of Black Clover, and I'm caught up, so, like, I watch all of the all of the dubs of
of that, yeah.
Black Clover, like, right in real time. So that's what I do on Sundays. So it's usually, like, I'll do a stream in the morning, finish up, and then when I'm doing, like, my
morning
laundry
stream
and making lunch and stuff, yeah.
Quote unquote.
Morning stream that goes all day.
Yeah.
It went for 7 hours last time. Good God.
Jeez.
And then the backlog, I've been watching Soul Eater because it's actually made by the same people who do Fire Force, and that's what drove me to go back to it. And then you realize, like, this is kind of like the anime version of Supernatural almost. Like, not like exactly the same.
Yeah, I never watched Supernatural.
Oh, okay. So basically, like, Supernatural, they go and, like, hunt down monsters, and they're, like, looking for different things, but it all ties into, like, one greater theme over the course of a season.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the way this is working out. So I just finished up the second season, so I'm into the third season now.
Yeah.
And the second season was very much like that, where, like, they start a storyline, and every few episodes you're going to do different things. So you're going off on this task and this mm-hmm. task and this task, and then at the end every little thing that they've done,
it all ties
comes to
back.
A head at the end, and then you know, finally has that end. So I think they do really well with not, like, taking things too far outside of one season, and do a great job of, like, making it so that a season is a collection,
yeah,
more or less, more so than, like, a, you know, continuation of just an complete overarching story. So I've been really enjoying it so far, and I think I'm like quarter of the way through season 3 now. So
okay,
there's only 4 seasons on Netflix, and I don't know if
that's all
beyond
that is.
But
that's all the third
so,
is apparently
almost there.
So have you ran into the little demon that's inside Soul?
Yes. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on him? Because I've never, like, had someone to ask about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Madness Demon, not Mayhem. Madness. Yeah. I'm so caught up in Mayhem as it is with all the games that I'm just trying to insert that wherever I want to put it.
Yep.
It's interesting, and I think just where they leave it off at the end of the season is kind of interesting, because you never know if he's going to come back and kind of make a bigger, mm-hmm. point in a farther season, but. It kind of makes sense, and then where season 2 ends off. Like, season 2, you get to the end of season 2, and you're like, oh, that happened. Like, this is going to get real crazy now.
It's been so long since I watched it.
everything in season one was like, we have to do all of these things to prevent this from happening. And at the end of two, this happens. And you're like, so what happens now? You know? So like moving forward, it's going to be even crazier.
Yeah. Okay. I remember now at least enough. Yeah. So that's what we've been watching.
So of course we'll talk about what we've been gaming with. So September, it's been in, so crazy. Far, you know, we're halfway through. It's already been like a crazy month of releases. That's another thing. Like, time is just irrelevant at this point because it's just like you start one day and the next thing you know, it's 2 months later. But
it doesn't exist.
But this month has been crazy with releases. You have Gears 5, Borderlands 3, Link's Awakening comes out this Friday. NBA 2K20, NHL 20. Tons of games that come out. So I know that we pretty much play the same games every single day.
Yep.
Not like the same game, but like together. We play the same games. Yes, together we play the same games. So, you know, the beginning of the month, we started out Gears of War 5.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because we played, I don't know if you guys played, but I played the beta over the summer, and I really enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to, because I've never played a Gears on release or pre-release or anything like that. So this is my first day one Gears experience.
Yeah, I haven't either. This was my first day one Gears. Dog and I played a lot of 4 together, but we didn't play it on release. We mainly just played the campaign, though. But yeah, with 5, got to actually jump in with a little PvP with you. I tried it way back in the day and was horrible, but as soon as we tried it on 5, I was like, okay, maybe my PvP skills have improved.
Yeah.
I didn't really play much PvP in Gears of War, any of them. I've played all of them from the beginning. The only one other than Judgment, I did not play Judgment, but I played the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And I never really got into the PvP side of things, but the Horde modes, man, I loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember playing Horde in, I think, 3 quite a bit with some of my old friends, but that was about it.
It's good, and I think the Horde mode in 5 is good, too. I think that it's spaced out, it's got good sections, it's good.
I mean, if we get a slow time, we might have to jump in and try it one day. Do some.
That's definitely a thing, you know, and I think I want to start off with, like, the good things that I've seen so far, is that Xbox... from a first party perspective, needed a huge win, and this was gigantic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Gears 5 is probably the best looking console game right now. Like newer game, not the best, you know, but it's very good.
It's very good.
Xbox One X, it's incredible what they've done with modern technology, like current technology. To give us this game experience that we have out of Gears 5.
It's like the first game for like the fall season to come out, so I'm expecting to see some more other titles that come out and look just as good, but because it's the first one to come out, it blows everything out of the water right now.
It definitely set that tone, and you know, like, Xbox has kind of failed with a lot of their first party releases or exclusive releases, you know.
Yeah. Well, they just haven't had any.
While Sea of Thieves is doing really well right now, it wasn't received great at launch, you know. And that's same thing with Crackdown. Crackdown didn't do what they wanted it to do. State of Decay 2 did not do what they wanted it to do. But If Gears didn't do what it did, Xbox would be in some serious trouble from a game perspective. Like, I think from a hardware perspective, they're doing very well. Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate are the most incredible deal in gaming right now, which you get Gears included in a brand day new one. AAA title. So I think you look at those things, and those are giant wins for Xbox and console gaming as a whole. And that doesn't even go into the fact that you can actually play cross-platform Gears of War 5. So you can play with your Play Anywhere on Xbox One and PC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was pretty incredible as well.
One thing that I don't know, I haven't played enough of like Game Pass games on launch except for Gears 5 and Sea of Thieves, but one thing that I really liked that they have made a change is that you can, even if you don't buy it, you're just going to play with Game Pass, you can do the preloads.
Yep.
That's one thing they changed, like, between Sea of Thieves and now. Like, Sea of Thieves, I couldn't preload. I had to wait till day of. I had actually bought a physical copy of it so I could preload, and then traded that in.
Cheat the system.
Yeah. Afterwards. So that I could play it, and I kind of bummed myself out on that.
I may or may not have bought Sea of Thieves.
So, yeah.
Outright.
I don't remember if I did or not. It's been so long. But I would say this, though. Like, it kind of goes off what you said, Lupo, with the idea of how Xbox needed to win. To me, this is the answer to those console war things, quote-unquote, air quotes here, of the console wars of Xbox and PlayStation, of saying that we needed a game like God of War. So we needed a game of that type of magnitude that was big on PlayStation to put it on Xbox. Well, Gears has always been there. Yeah. But in this case, I mean, at this level, Gears looks so stunning. And I think it's I mean, y'all play Warframe all the time. It's 60 frames per second. It's there at that level. Gears at 60 frames per second looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And if they can continue to do that, like Lupo said earlier, on other games, setting the tone for these other games that are coming out, not just on Game Pass, but for other things.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, it's going to look real good for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. But, so, we've been talking about it and how great it looks, but we didn't actually really talked about how much we've played. I know we haven't finished it, but what are your guys' thoughts on the gameplay itself?
For me personally, it's a tad slow. Mm-hmm. So being used to games like Destiny and Warframe and stuff like that, like you're used to fast paced action combat, and I'm not saying that there's no action to the game. It's just there's so much cover.
Yeah.
And I think that's what took me away from Division, even, is that like you want to just go out and feel like a badass, and you only feel like half of one because you got to be in cover half the time or else you're going to get flanked. And that doesn't really scratch the itch for me. Like, I guess it's just, it may not be like, or may be that I'm not fully invested to the Gears franchise.
Yeah.
So I don't have like, I don't have that emotional.
I'm the
tie
same way.
To it
I'm
from when
way
it was
more
slower.
Of a Halo guy. I mm-hmm. been playing that forever. Can't wait for Halo Infinite.
Yeah, I'm all over that.
And mm-hmm. that's definitely more my style. I'm definitely not as much of the cover shooter guy. I played both the Divisions at least to finish the campaigns and everything. Tried to do a little bit of the endgame stuff. But Gears, I've never been huge into. I've played most of the campaigns at least, but that's about it. I'm not a big cover shooter. And one thing about both games that I've always had a little issue with, you can't jump.
Yeah.
There's jump prompts for things, but you can't just jump.
Yeah. And I agree, the cover shooting is kind of slow. It uh-huh. it takes it away from the speed of the game.
A little bit.
My biggest thing is the weapons. Being in Gears from start to finish, you don't see much variation with a lot of the weapons.
No, there's probably less than same. 30 guns in the whole game.
Right. And I think you could add some. I'm not saying add, like, make the whole new weapon system, because some of the weapons have lore attached to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they're
right?
very
like
iconic.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think you could add a few here or there to make things a little bit more spiced up and a little bit yeah. more.
I understand different. It. Like, the main hardcore audience is more into, like, the Horde and the PvP. And a good chunk, most of them play the campaigns and everything. But, like, I think where the Gears franchise really shines is in their, like, Horde and PvP. And, like, mm-hmm. PvP tournaments that they'll do once in a while. So, like, it's not quite our...
It's not a looter shooter.
It's not a... yes, exactly.
It's not a looter
it's
shooter,
not, it's,
so
it's not a Destiny
or
you know Borderlands.
Like, that's not even like the whole of it for me personally. I was expecting to go into Gears 5 and be able to play it with a group of four,
That
and
too.
That's not actually the case. Mm-mm. You know, you go in and it's actually a group of two and the
drone.
Like if that's cool. Like I know Thaddeus jumped it, or did he jump in with us, or he was trying to jump in with us? I know that that's, we wanted to talk about that real quickly, is like the opposite end of the spectrum with our Gears experience, which isn't a whole lot at this point. You know, I only played it for like the weekend realistically. Yeah. But the major downsides for me was the matchmaking, number one, because that seemed to be a problem across the board, and I don't even think that was a Gears thing.
No, that was an Xbox thing, unfortunately.
But the other issue is, you know, like, grouping up was a problem, having the hitches for the network that weekend, and then not, like, I was talking to some other people amongst the community, like Dark Life, Rayman, they were trying to get into some horde mode and stuff like that, and like the grouping system isn't great. Like, there's five in a horde, but you can only like group four or something like that. I
so what, you have kinda NPC strange, or, you know, rando? Like,
yeah, you'd have to have a rando, even though you can group, like you could theoretically group five. You're not gonna find five people to do it, but you physically can't do it in the game.
That's... Yeah, it maxes out at four.
But there's five in a horde team.
Mm-hmm. It maxes at four. For
your
team.
Party maxes at four.
Yes. Because that's what, isn't that what PvP maxes at?
I believe. No, PvP is five.
Five or six. I don't remember.
I don't really know, but to have some sort of discrepancy like that is just kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strange design choice. Other negatives. I mean, I'll say one other positive that, you know, kind of touching on Dog's thing, but he was talking about the weapons and stuff like that. I'm not big on sniping. I'm not.
Nope.
But Gear's sniping felt pretty damn good. You know, I'm usually a run and gun.
It's nice when you see that guy's head just explode like a watermelon, and it sounds amazing.
Sniping in Gears is pretty good, man.
It's not that like tink sound that you have in a lot of other games when you get a headshot. No, it's an exploding.
An explosion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
But speaking,
and then I think last point that I want to make about Gears. Because we were, you're talking about like the win for Xbox, comparatively to how successful Sony has been with their first party titles.
Yeah,
more people are gonna play these games long term. More people playing Sea of Thieves now than mm-hmm. are gonna play God of War next year.
Yeah, that's the you're thing right. is like a lot of the Xbox exclusives are longevity. Not necessarily live service, but they're the they have. The player base is going to stick around the cooperative. They're like,
yeah.
What's the last PS4 exclusive that you've seen that had co-op? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, if you want to consider No Man's Sky, but that took 2 years to get co-op.
And then when it got co-op, it came out for Xbox.
Everybody, yeah. Then everybody got it.
Yep. So,
Crow, you want to make one last point on Gears?
Nah, I'm pretty much good on it. Dog.
Okay. You were about to start, I thought, and then I kind of cut you off a little bit. So
no.
I do that.
It's all right.
But I mean, that's kind of what we played at the beginning of the month. You know, now we're recording this on the 19th, and on the 13th we got Borderlands 3. It's probably the most anticipated game in the current generation, because we've been waiting since 2012 for new content on the game. I mean, don't be wrong. We got extra Borderlands 2 content mm-hmm. when they announced Borderlands 3, so that was absolutely fantastic. You know, you get this last hoorah of Borderlands 2 before you get Borderlands 3, and now Mayhem is here.
Finally.
Let's talk
it
about
has
it.
Has arrived.
Oh.
I lost a lot of sleep this weekend, man.
I have been up till at least 2 or 3 o'clock every night since launch. Mm-hmm. And on launch day, or that launch night, I stayed up till 4 a.m. and then got up and played another 18 hours straight, I think.
Jeez.
Because I may or may not have taken off Friday and played it that day.
I mean, no shame, man. No shame. I wish that I could have played that long. It's just, obviously, life and stuff gets away, but the little bit that I played on launch... It was hyped up for everything that it was. It was, it met the hype. It exceeded the hype.
Oh, for sure.
For it. No doubt in my mind.
We can finally clamber and slide.
Oh, you know what? Like, we could talk about that for a second. So, like, Dog and I, we got an opportunity to play it over the summer. Or mm-hmm. I guess you were in the late spring. I was in the summer. But we got to play it before release. And that was my first impression, how much faster the game had got.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think if you release... You take Borderlands 2 right now and you just put it onto modern consoles with just modern graphics, and I don't think it would get the reception that Borderlands 3 would have got, just because of how smooth the game is. It's mm-hmm. like actually incredible, like how samey it feels, but how different it
and
feels
it's because ridiculous, of
those modern improvements.
Considering how much visually is going on in that game, I'm surprised we don't have more problems. Like last night, we were doing those trials runs with our friend Doof, and boy, there were a lot of explosions. I'm surprised my whole like internet and everything didn't crash because of it. Sometimes, like it definitely got a little frame ratey a couple times, but for the most part, like it's doing good and it's freaking amazing.
It was a freaking rave, what it was. those spider nades or whatever y'all call them. I want one. I gotta have.
I'm trying to find them. I'm trying to figure out where they drop, and I can't.
We were doing a little searching before.
I've had some. Like we found one data sheet that someone had made, and I like looked where they said it, where they had got it. I farmed those two bosses for probably 2 hours last night. Not a single one dropped. And that's not where I got mine. Lupo and I got ours from a little side quest, and Doof got his from just like a random drop, I think. So,
Tree Boss. He got it from Tree Boss.
Okay, so one of the Guardians, one of the Vault Guardians, but still not one of the things that it said was dropping from.
Which, I mean, that kind of goes into a lot of the stuff that, I mean, we can kind of get into it a little bit, is how much loot there is in the game.
It's ridiculous. I've already maxed out my backpack space and my bank space, and I'm still full constantly. I'm thankful that there's the weird like wall in your room that you can put some stuff in, because there's some like lower level stuff that I just want to keep for the nostalgia. Like I gotta keep the poop gun. Gotta keep the poop gun.
No, I got rid of that thing so fast.
I have not found that yet, but it will probably go on my wall when I do.
It's pretty hilarious. It's a launcher, and it just shoots out.
I'll tell you what, every person on my friends list gets a poop skin if I get it. You can get the skin for the guns.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the poop. So I just mail it to everybody on my
friends
list.
Oh, okay. Find someone to mail it to. Now, that's another awesome thing. Like, you can take any loot that you've got, and you don't have to just drop it. Say, like, I'm playing and Dog's still at one of his football games, and I get a piece of gear that's, like, god tier for him, but I don't have the backpack space. I can pick it up real fast, mail it to his character, and it's good to go.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't even know about it till, like, the other night.
I'm pretty sure that's a Diablo thing.
It is.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
You're Diablo exactly thing. Right.
Yep.
So, It's funny, like we're going full circle. You know, we were talking a lot about it before Anthem launch, about how much they were inspired by Diablo to create their loot system and their gameplay loop. You know, and now here we are. Borderlands has really set the tone for console looter shooters, like as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, Borderlands 1, Borderlands 2. I mean, Borderlands 2 is probably one of the most played games, most repurchased games in the last 5 to 10 years.
Probably.
And here we are. Them going back and saying, hey, look, Diablo did all these awesome things, which I really think that they probably got their ideas, most of their core ideas from Diablo 2.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. It's really interesting to see. I think more people now are doing really good jobs of looking at competition and saying, what do they do really well? And how can we put this into our game to make it even better? Mm. So, like, as much as, like, Borderlands influenced Destiny, Destiny is very much influencing Borderlands, and you can see very clear as day.
To the point they put in Dinklebot.
Yes, there's a lot of Destiny callbacks, and that's not out of like disrespect. It's more homage, you know.
No,
I think it's great to see, and there's I was at Guardian Con, you know, which is primarily a, it's not a Destiny event, you know, it's
not
it's,
anymore. Yeah. It started
it's how
out,
it started,
yeah.
But you know, here we are 5 years later and you know, Gearbox brings Borderlands to Guardian Con, you know, yep. And it's literally, you're standing on the Gearbox line to go check out Borderlands 3 and you're looking at Destiny across the way. You're watching people play, you know, play the Crucible, for that event at Guardian Con. It was a great experience, you know, and you can break bread with these people. You know, we're not fighting over which game is better. You know, we shouldn't be. If you like this more than the other, like, that's fine. Like, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday or 2 days ago and he's like, I'm not even gonna play Shadowkeep at launch because Borderlands is so good. I was like, you know what, I'm having fun with Borderlands right now, but I think in 2 weeks I'm gonna want to play Destiny. He's like, nope. He's like, I know that I'm gonna be wanting to play Borderlands, but that's fine.
That's totally
that's
fine.
Okay, we are in a you know, a point in time where you don't have to like say yes or no to things. Like, you can play both, or you can say, you know what, I'll touch that in a few months. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? I think this is. I made a joke about this a long time ago that Destiny moved their launch day back so that they could play Borderlands, and I got to thinking about it more and more. I think it was more out of respect. I think it was more out of respect to move back.
It could
back
be out of respect
day.
And the fact that, like,
and also stuff to get done. Yes,
we
but,
and Destiny could have been Bungie could have been looking at it and say, like, this is a game that people have been waiting for what, 7 years?
Yeah,
and has one of the largest fan bases. We might mm-hmm. need to push ours back just so that the people have time to play ours.
Yeah, because it's similar play bases. Mm-hmm. Like, the people
very similar
who play
play
Destiny
bases.
play Borderlands.
I'm seeing
a lot of them
a
do.
Bunch of, like, Borderlands YouTube videos that's like, here are some things for Destiny players to know about Borderlands 3. Here's some things that will help you in relation to Destiny. I'm like, the first time I saw that, I was like,
your
what?
Buttons are opposite.
And then I'm like, no, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because it's a very big looter shooter. Destiny was very heavily influenced by it. So it's very similar. And now we're coming back around to Borderlands.
But, like, imagine preparing for a raid while trying to enjoy Borderlands at the same time. Like, you'd literally have to rush through the content. And, like,
I
that's what
do
we
it.
Do. The three of us, we rush through content. That's just what we do.
Yep.
But, like, if other people want to experience content, like, the way most people do, you don't have the proper amount of time. Like, you know, let's just look at the hosts. Mule is not finished with the campaign.
No.
Natty's Prime is not finished with the campaign. I don't think Dirty Mom's even touched it yet. You know, and that's just a small sample size of the people that we, you know, if anyone's listening, they can relate to immediately. You know, and we grind content. They don't necessarily, you know, and it would be unfair to them to have both of those games in the same time frame, in the same 6 day span. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I could do that, no problem.
It would have been rough, but we could have.
I could still be ready for the raid the weekend afterwards, but it would just be like, I'd be taking years off my life.
Yeah, we might not be we might not be level 50 in Borderlands, but we'd be raid ready at least.
We'd be raid ready. Yep.
So, you know, like, I think there's too many factors of the reason why they pushed this release, you know, that Destiny release back. You know, we will talk more about Destiny, you know, in the very near future. But, like, between the amount of respect that they have for the studio, player bases kind of overlapping, you know, it's a lot of different things. I think it's their own, you know, livelihood at that point. You know, if people have a budget to say, I'm going to spend X amount of money on games once a month, and you can buy one game per month, at that point, you have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
If you move it 2 weeks, you're getting that person who has that one game a month budget to play both, potentially. You know,
for sure.
So that's the way they got to look at it. And I think it's a really smart thing. Anybody who's releasing in this window, except for Nintendo, is crazy. And even to see that Monster Hunter... You know, we kind of wanted to talk about a lot of different games in September because September has been absolutely insane for launches. For Monster Hunter to put out an expansion in the same freaking month as all these other things is really not smart.
Yeah, now well,
really not smart. Especially,
granted,
especially being the
this
being
one,
the lower tier of everything. Like Monster Hunter is very, like, niche.
Yes,
at this point.
And also, granted, the Monster Hunter DLC was planned and announced way before either of these games had their release dates.
Fair.
So, for all we know, well, most likely they had no idea about these things coming out.
I would have tried to move it up. If I'm Capcom, I would have said, you know what, we're gonna go into August. It's just a smarter business plan at that point.
Could have, but knowing their content, like, they kind of need the time sometimes.
Oh yeah.
But
I mean, like, Monster Hunter was fun. It's just like it got too samey to me. It just wasn't fast enough.
It's
like, I like games that are fast and fluid, and I guess that's why I'm like came back to Apex, because it is so much faster and fluid than all the other battle royals.
What weapon did you main in Monster Hunter?
Charge blade and light bow gun.
There's your problem right there. You are using two of the slowest moving weapons.
It's possible.
See, I was the glaive main, and boy, that is fast. Like, you can just fly across the map. Literally, you can fly.
Speed now is like my own hindsight. Like, being able to sit here a year and a half later and say, this is why I didn't play it as much. You know, like, then I was like, you know what? I just want to play more Destiny.
In any of those type of games, I'm always like, okay, what is the dodging class? What is the class that can move? I don't want to get hit at all. I don't want to tank hits. I want to be able to dodge hits. And just stay out of the way.
See, for me, it's always like, I've always wanted to be a support person, and the more I play more games, I realize I don't want to be that. I want to be run and gun, you know, get in, get out, you know, and like.
But did you end up being a support character anyway, and within
that? Yeah, just because I'm a good person. Everybody needs a healer.
So whenever you run Titan for Shadowkeep, you know, you're going to be that support character that's a running gun.
Yeah. So before we get too far off tangent and move on to the next thing, let's just close out our Borderlands 3 thoughts. There were some negatives up front,
mm-hmm. a couple,
and there was matchmaking issues again. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's something you guys had spoke about with Borderlands 2 at launch, or Borderlands pre-sequel at launch, is that there were matchmaking issues, and we noticed it right away.
That's just been a whole thing with Borderlands throughout the years. Like, even nowadays, sometimes it just has issues. I think it just has to do with the way that they do their matchmaking system, because it's very different than a lot of these other cooperative loot shooters. It's not like, how do I explain it? You're not playing online all the time. You're only playing online when you're playing co-op.
System,
yep.
So you can be playing your offline game, but still someone else can all of a sudden jump into your game, and that could be part of the problem, for all we know.
Yeah.
Very well could be.
Like, that's what we've noticed, is that, like, I've had numerous console crashes, not even game crashes,
complete console crashes,
because I guess they're trying to do a little too much, and I think that's like when you know we're at the end of a console generation, is like, even having an Xbox One X, like, we're asking it to do too much right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about it earlier, about how, like, some of the particle effects and sound effects were just getting way too intense for the processing speed.
Yeah.
And that's, like, you know, like, the next thing is coming. And like, I was losing audio, and, you know, the frames were slowing down. I was like, this is tough.
We know Doof. He finds the most OP builds and just goes for that. So it's not surprising that he found something that they probably didn't intend to people to figure out, or just didn't figure out themselves, even.
This is true. Because the amount of guns that are there and the amount of weaponry that you have available, there's no way you can calculate for everything to happen. And I mean, I think as a part of the crashes, like, I know my Xbox is giving me messages at times, like, make sure your console is in an area that is open spaced where it can, you know,
that's interesting. I haven't got anything like that at all.
Like,
but I mean, Xbox sits out on an open table. It's
mine does too, and it
vented.
It's crazy.
Mine's relatively open.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the bad stuff, that I would say the connection issues. They're getting that fixed. They did release some patches.
Yeah, they
stuff
had a couple patch notes. Minute. We'll talk about that. But one last, like, good thing that I really wanted to point out for at least us and at least the Mulehorn gaming community. This game has actually pulled someone away from Destiny that, as soon as I say it, you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. But it has pulled Barry away from Destiny. Like,
which is something.
That is saying something. For our friend BearMy5, he has more hours played in Destiny than anyone I think on my friends list. And it's like multiple times. It's not like 100 hours or something. Like, it's doubled a lot of people's hours. I think he's maybe double or triple mine even. Not for sure, but the fact that this game is pulling him away and he's like, hey, what are you running? I want to learn these things. Because he tried Borderlands 2. He kind of liked it. Wasn't super into it or anything, but he enjoyed it for the most part. But he went right back to Destiny. But every day when I get home, if I get on, he's like, hey, I'm on. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it's just with the rate that you're getting legendaries at now, it makes it more rewarding. And like,
yeah, and we'll talk about that as well.
I can look at like the maybe 100 hours I've played the other three games total, and say that I've maybe got two legendaries in those 100 hours. Mm-hmm. Between playing the first one twice, playing the second one three times, and playing the pre-sequel 1.5 times.
Yeah. Now, when we did all those other ones, though, we never actually really got into the end game stuff. We're getting closer.
No, but like they rebalanced the game. They rebalanced the game, so true. They made it more. So the leveling in Borderlands now is more akin to the way Destiny is, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. I was looking at that yesterday and kind of really thinking about how drastically that's changed, because like 72 is super high.
It
that's
is.
Ridiculously high. You know, and to say like 50, I think 50 is a good spot. 50 is a pretty reasonable level number.
Now, I don't know for sure, but the 72 could have been because of DLCs.
Like, I think Destiny. That was the case.
So the original Borderlands 2, it could have been 50.
Yeah. I think that was my case, thought. When I think they did actually raise it up.
Because when I first heard that the max was level 50, I was like, wait, it's lower than Borderlands 2? And then I thought about it. I was like, well, Destiny always starts out lower, so, and then they increase with some of the expansions. Like, okay, they're probably just doing something like that, since they're going to be doing some larger DLC, story DLCs in Borderlands 3 this time, for sure.
Yeah, but like super early on, getting legendaries, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
I want more.
Yes,
I want give me the loot now. So I like it incentivizes people to play, you know, and that's something where. You know, I don't want to say it. That's where Anthem struggled heavily, is, you know, not getting that loot, not getting meaningful loot early on. You know, you're literally, you play through an entire game, trying out all these different things, and then by the time you're at the end game, you're like, all right, I still have like this okay stuff. I gotta go find all the good stuff now. Like, get good stuff into people's hands earlier,
mm-hmm.
and then that's when like they get to the end. And they're like, okay, so I have some okay good stuff, and like. I want to get good stuff.
I haven't touched anything below a blue since probably level like 35.
Hmm.
If I don't have something that's at least purple or legendary, I'm just not going to touch it. And just the way that the system works is a whole lot better. They have the gear score, so you can kind of tell. So you might be having like, in the old ones, like you would strictly look at first thing is always damage. What's the damage numbers?
Yep. What's the damage?
So you could pick up two SMGs. If they had different damage numbers, you're like, eh, not so good. Now you kind of need to look at that gear score, because of all the other stats might change it. There could be two different archetypes completely.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. But
absolutely.
Do we want to get into, they actually had a small patch today. We want to start getting into that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, it's mostly like some quality of life improvements. Mm-hmm. So they're calling it bugs, but that seems more like quality of life for me. And then balance changes overall. But I think the biggest thing to look at with this here was that they scaled down the amount of loot drops in Mayhem mode. So like Mayhem, so once you finish the game, you can get into Mayhem modes. Mayhem modes spawn more higher tier enemies. Which then in turn gets more loot.
Yep.
So now at Mayhem 2, 1, 2, or 3, they've scaled those numbers back, which I find that a little frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand, like, so we had a similar thing with Anthem early on, where the loot shower happened, or whatever they want to call it, where you were just getting legendaries all the time, and that's literally how Borderlands felt. You go melt a boss, you get five legendaries out of it. You're like, holy crap, this is incredible. And now it's like, over the last 2 days, I've gotten three. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
I mean, they are taking loot away, but I say loot away. They are taking drops and making them almost a little bit more special.
Yeah, we'll have to do a lot more. We'll have to do more testing, because like we've been playing hardcore, so just the sheer amount of hours that we've put in so far, we should have a decent amount, and we do. I don't think I have anything that isn't orange in my inventory right now.
I have one.
You have one thing. You've got your grenade probably, right? That one grenade.
The pipe bomb.
The pipe bomb.
The pseudo legendary.
Yeah, pretty much.
But so like just the fact that we've been putting so much hours in, Lupo and I did jump in a little bit before the cast tonight, and we did a couple bosses. Got a couple. I think I saw maybe I got a few more bosses than Lupo did, just because he was having a little connection issues. But I saw probably about a 50% reduction, I'd say, really thinking about it.
Easily.
Because
But even like last night we did the trials, or I'm sorry, what are the Proving Grounds?
Proving Grounds, yeah.
It's called the trial of something. That's why we keep saying the trials. Mm-hmm. But the Proving Grounds. I didn't see that many last night as it was. You know, killing a boss in Mayhem 2 was netting me more legendaries than doing a Proving Grounds in Mayhem 3.
I mean, see, I was getting a ton
I got a ton
those runs with Doof. I got
13.
Maybe my luck wasn't high enough.
I got 13 legendaries in one run.
Unfortunately,
I got 13.
13 run in a single run.
13 in a single run. I got 13.
Okay, I wasn't that high. I was maybe 7 or 8, but I was maybe not, because there's probably like 4 rooms per run. Mm-hmm. I was getting between 2 and 5 per run. Like the lowest I got was 2, and the highest I got was 5. But we were doing really well at also finding the hoarders and the loot guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
so we'll have to focus on that.
Yeah, I did one solo afterwards that I actually found the location for and everything. And then Lupo and I ran it before the stream, or before the podcast, not stream, sorry. And didn't find a single loot guy. Now, it might just be that specific one, or it might be because of what we were running it on. We were only running on Mayhem 2. And also including these changes. And I think they actually made a thing in the patch notes. I'm looking right now. Yeah, adjusted the spawn rate of loot tanks in...
I mean, that was just one location.
That's a specific location. Like, okay.
Loot cave the farm.
Never mind.
The Jacob's Mansion.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that one, yeah.
But there's
but
one
like,
thing on
like Dog said, they're trying to make it a little bit more significant. You know, like the drops more significant. But I don't feel like they weren't before, because really, like, even if you get 10 legendaries, one of them was an anointed, which is really what you're looking for beyond you know, the actual legendary itself. And then at that point, like, you're looking for the good anointed stuff. So, like, you're looking for the stuff for your class. You know, there's ones for, like, I'm using Flak, so you really want to build around the fadeaway if you want to do that high crit damage. And I haven't found any of those, you know. So, like, that would incentivize me to just keep getting more legendary. So, if they're going to lower the drop rate now, it's just going to make it that much more difficult, and then de-incentivize me to want to play more. So I might switch over to another character as opposed to just keep grinding the same one because the loot drops are lower.
I mean, you're getting all those siren loot drops. It might be kind of pointing you somewhere.
But I mean, if that's the case too, that I did hear someone talk about that there was so much loot for other characters that you can basically like gear up an entire second character without even starting it.
Oh, for sure.
So if that changed, that'd be okay. You know, we're gonna talk about it again. Anthem had the same issue early on. But I would say that's a better fix. Like, give me less stuff of other characters and give me what I'm using, as opposed to just dropping all of the drops.
Yeah, and it's definitely a lot less, because really, when you think about it, there's only what, three things that can be class specific. There's the class mod, heads, and skins. Mm-hmm. And two of those things don't even affect your build. They're just cosmetic. So.
Yeah. But then all the anointed weapons, too.
I mean, technically, you can still use those. You just don't get the perk.
I don't know what it is, man. Maybe they just think I'm a siren.
I guess maybe so. In your heart, you are.
I only played a siren one half of one time.
You are missing the biggest change in the patch notes that was by far and away the best thing that they could have ever changed.
Oh, yeah?
The voice or the pain
Troy. Yes. Troy's constant screaming.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one ear.
Yes.
I feel like I lost half of that ear. For those of you who don't know, most of you do know,
Dog is deaf in one ear. So he only has one ear that he can play with. He's got to keep that one ear.
Troy took half of it. I guarantee you he took half of it. Because that was a fight that was 25 minutes of, or maybe 15, of him constantly screaming because we kept doing status effects. And I think that was unintentional by them.
That's my fault. I'm running a status build.
Yep.
My ear. Thanks you. Mm-hmm. It's bleeding.
You're welcome.
But it's okay. But yeah, I think that was a great change. I know the loot's a big deal, but I thought that was A-okay in my book.
For sure.
But I mean, like, the most important thing is that they're being quick to react to things, and that's what you want to see from a game that potentially we're going to be playing for months, years, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so the urgency of change in a live service is the utmost of, you know, one of the utmost important things to its success and longevity. Yeah. is just seeing how they react to it, to see how the community reacts to the changes and everything like that. So we've only been in live game for, you know, a week, just even say a week, you know, and they're already reacting to what the community is asking for.
And all these updates that they've been doing, like, I think there's actually been a couple other, like, stealth ones that they just haven't needed to talk about, because I've had some times where
I don't like going down the rabbit hole on things like that.
Well, I've had like when I go to log out, it'll say, hey, there's an update, go back to the main title screen to apply it. And I'm not sure what those are exactly. Could just be small things. But also, like, I don't know about you guys, but the patch that was today, was that all game side?
Yeah, it was all game side. The next client update will probably adjust the damage on that Python thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But still, like, the fact that they can do these updates in game, they're not actually having to send patches to Xbox and PlayStation and Epic, is pretty nice. It's like,
yeah,
it is. I didn't have an update that I had to download.
Yeah, it was all server side.
Now, that's kind of a going off a little bit, we were talking about some problems we've been having. I don't know about you guys, but I've definitely noticed that if my Xbox is downloading an update for something else, that I will have a little bit more problems. Have you noticed that at all, Dog? Because there have been a lot of updates for a lot of different games in the last week.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I think even my Xbox store had an update. I didn't know that could update.
Yeah, it does.
Honestly, I had no clue. And I think that was part of my Xbox issue on some of the crashes, because of those updates were constantly running in the background, that it was slowing down some of my Xbox stuff. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Maybe that's a completely different thing
that I'm thinking of. I think it could be, because I definitely noticed, like, I got on one day and started to play, and I got kicked out multiple times. I'm like, okay. And then I noticed that in my game section, I had multiple updates being applied or getting ready to apply. I'm like, okay, and some of them were, really? Like,
massive.
So I paused them all. Big. I had one more crash of my Xbox, and then it was good for the rest of the night.
Yeah. You just got to prioritize the things that you want it to do, because sometimes it'll do, like, things that you don't need it to do. Like, games you haven't played in a year. Like I never delete games, so I have like my entire library.
I may have deleted like 5 or 6 games in the last couple of days just because I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm not gonna play this thing for a while.
Yeah, I did.
That's what I did, and like this is actually like the perfect opportunity to segue into talking about Destiny, because that's where you know I did this for it, because yep. I went and got an SSD. Mm-hmm. For Destiny, because it's going to need almost 100 gigs just for the entire mm-hmm. shebing bang of Destiny 2 and all of its associated parts, including Shadowkeep. So that's what I did. Deleted some stuff, cleared out some of the things, and put Destiny onto the SSD. And I know we did a raid 2 weeks ago, and I loaded in substantially faster than you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Borderlands is the same thing. I'm loading in significantly faster than most people without it. So
it definitely also prioritizes group lead, I've noticed.
Yep.
Because when most of the time I've been group lead, you and I are at least tied.
Yeah.
Because I'm not running on SSD. I'm just running on the internal drive for.
Yeah, because then it's getting you to the data center, and you guys are closer to the main data center. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Destiny.
Let's wrap up Borderlands. You know, we mm-hmm. we are all sorts of mayhemed out, you know, doing our thing this week. But of course, you know, I think Mayhem is probably the most significant game in the gaming community right now, like the Mulehorn gaming community. It's kind of what brought everybody together, but it's what brought me to you guys, you know, mm-hmm. and you guys to Mulehorn gaming as a whole.
Yeah.
And the next expansion comes out in what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Just over 2 weeks.
It is almost here. It so, is almost
over
here.
The last few days, Bungie have been putting out their narrative updates on their website, which has been, I think it's really fun. Like, if you're not like a super in-depth Destiny person, it doesn't really, it probably doesn't make a huge deal to you. But this is akin to Destiny 1, where you have everything on the app, you know, where you had like, if I'm playing Destiny, I want to play Destiny. Sometimes I don't want to look into all the lore. So if I'm mm-hmm. outside of Destiny, I can do these other things. And now I have this. And I think even just they're interesting stories. And this one in particular, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'll let everybody read it for themselves, is tying up a lot of loose ends that have been made over the course of the year.
Okay, so I haven't read any of them. But...
Remember what I just said. They're tying up the loose ends. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a second, because I want to also discuss the Vidoc. But like, I know, Dog, you took a look at that. But Crow, you've read the other ones in the past. Like, Opulence had good ones, mm-hmm. and Joker's Wild. I think Joker's Wild is really, really good, because then you had that whole Drifter and Shinmao Fur arc and everything like that. Like, super. It's like reading manga, man. It's crazy.
I mean, it's pretty much akin to that, in kind of a way. But you go back even further, go back into Destiny 1 with Alsector. And going back with Rise of Iron, I think that's where a lot of this narrative preview stuff kind of kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been getting better every time they've done a narrative preview. And I think this is probably one of the best narrative previews yet. Because like Lupo said, there's a lot of small things that are put in here, but are so massive in the big grand scheme of things with Eris and everything that's going on.
Yep.
I mean, it's so crazy. It's so.
Well,
so
I know what
crazy.
I'm reading before I go to bed.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, to not spoil anything, because I don't want like to. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, it's been out for a few weeks now. Some of the stuff that Chapter 4 or Chapter 5 just got released today. But pay attention to something called Royalty Below, because I think that's something you want to pay attention to and take a look at that. Because there's some good things going on here, some story elements that I want it. I want it to be true. I really want it to be true.
Interesting.
So beyond just that, we got a new Vidoc this week, which I love the Vidocs, because you always see stuff you don't expect to see. That's one thing. I think one of the most important things to me. That I was just talking about before, is that with this specific Vidoc, they're talking about how seasons are going to transform the game moving forward. So at the beginning of a season set is going to be the expansion, you know, and then you're going to get your 4 seasons over the course of the thing. So this one is obviously Season of the Undying. and that's going to set off a new set of story stuff, you know. So this week, this season is going to be about the Vex, and by the end of the season, we're going to have other things. Now, with the narrative that they just put in place, they were talking about how the beginning of the beginning of the expansion is going to set it off, and then the seasons are going to kind of like weave the story where the last part of it, and they even said that the fourth season of year three is going to be the craziest thing in Destiny.
To date. Season 11.
To date.
Are we finally going to get triangle ships?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go that crazy. If that happened, that definitely would be the craziest thing. But we're seeing it now. So the narrative we've gotten, at least today, today was like super significant about what we've been theory crafting for the last 11 months with Forsaken, for like the end of like the main story, mm-hmm. to what they went in with the Shattered Throne and all those sorts of things. Like, that's where we started getting into these other things and like the conversation of the successors and stuff, you know. So I think it's super cool that they're really starting to build on the story, and now ends are starting to get tied, and maybe we're gonna see more of that in Shadowkeep. But like, they know what they're doing.
Oh yes,
they have listened for the last 5 years, and I think a Activision less Bungie / Destiny is going to be the best place that we ever really want this franchise to be.
So take a look at this for a second. You start out with Destiny 1's story. Take the lore that was out of it. Yeah, it made the story, it made the Destiny story better because of that there. You take Destiny's story from that point and you take it to now. It's got substantially better at telling the story, mm-hmm. and you being a part of the story.
Oh, for sure.
Because beforehand it was notes on a page and then a few guns and a few actions here or there. But now, whenever we're living the lore and we are seeing the lore come to life,
yep.
I mean, that's fantastic storytelling. You're telling things and you're building things that are going to blow people's minds. Like, there's theories that I've got up here about the next season that was on the whiteboard that they showed.
But that's what I'm saying, is that like if you really like watch it over like 300, 400, 500 times, like, you'll see these extra little things in there.
Oh.
Someone spotted that rocket launcher, which is now like, it's basically like Void Yallerhorn, and yep. that's going to be in the game moving forward. And that's exciting, man. Like, seeing this little picture in someone's screen in the back of a video that someone pulls up and blows up 600 times, you know, and now we're seeing those things. It's exciting. Like, I get excited by them. I guess it's just because of like the level of investment I have now with Destiny, that it's just always going to, something new is always exciting.
And even on top of that, you talk about stopping frames. You stop at the whiteboard. Destiny is supposedly on the whiteboard, supposed to be supported for another 4 years. So I think it's like going to be a total
Destiny
of seven.
Two,
Destiny, yeah,
two.
Destiny 2. Yes. Yeah. So it's going to be supported for a while. So Destiny 3, if it's going to happen, won't happen until like 2023, which ironically is the 10-year anniversary of Destiny. Kind of ironic. If a Destiny 3 is even a thing. That's kind of interesting.
I'm going to stick with my guns. I don't want a Destiny 3.
I'm okay with that, too. I'm okay with that.
The only problem we're going to run into is hardware. So, like, if you can get everything in Destiny 2 over to new hardware without an issue,
mm-hmm.
That you're not leaving anyone behind, like, that's where you're going to have an issue. And that's what the issue was with Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, is that we were still on old tech. So Destiny 1 was largely designed for PS3 and 360 because it was supposed to come out a year before it actually did.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, like, Destiny should have been a launch title for Xbox One and PS4.
Mm, yeah.
And it just wasn't. It wasn't ready. Yep. You know, so they had to push it back a year. So we got a lot of old tech, and you saw it. Like, you didn't see it until Destiny 2. You're like, oh, I know why we had to do this over, you know, because there's a lot of things that are super clunky in Destiny 1. That they've further iterated on in Destiny 2. Rabbit hole. I can't do that now. Let's stay on task. there's so many things that I really like love about Destiny 2 that has improved over Destiny 1. But like I said, that's another topic of conversation for a different podcast or something like that.
So,
but
let's go over some of the stuff.
This is the hardest thing, is where you're gonna get to the next, like, where would Destiny 3 start is where hardware starts to limit you on Destiny 2.
It could. So yeah. So I haven't had time to check it all out because I have been hardcore engrossed into Borderlands, but you guys got to take a look at the TWAB today. Mm-hmm. We want to go over that just a little bit, at least some of the hot topics.
Some of the stuff that's there, it talks about mod changes a little bit. Kind of talks about how that works, mm-hmm. How it's going to replace the mod that you're not going to lose any mods anymore.
I did see that, and that's really a cool thing. So mm-hmm. basically, to summarize it, the new mod system, they're changing the mod system to where you unlock mods instead of and they're technically reusable, they're technically just unlocks that you can switch in and out freely instead of being consumables. And what they also recently told us is that the current mods that you own are not going to be useless. Those are going to be basically just converted right over into the unlocks.
Right. And it's gonna stay there if you have the mod.
Except if they're equipped.
Except, yes. Yes, if they're equipped. So, little meta or like prep talk. If you got some good mods that you want, and maybe there's one on a gun that you're 50-50 on the gun, but you really like the mod, you might want to dismantle it to get that mod back.
Right. Yeah. And I think this week's TWAB is really just, it's lackluster compared to last week's TWAB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the last few have been very good. You know, they're kind of just opening things up, and now it's just really more like, we're almost there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Here's a little bit. You know, I think that's just going to be the way it is moving forward until we get to that point. Yeah. You know.
Now, so I think we can safely say that, you know, MHG is going to go after this raid. Not necessarily a world's first attempt, but we are going to get after this raid on day one. And we're going to try to get it, try to knock it out in the first 24 hours. If not, we'll get it done over the weekend. And, you know, we're going for it. We missed out on the jacket last time, which frustrated me to no end. I wanted this time.
Yep, we're getting it this time.
So how would we, as the clan vanguard, you know, the three of us are really like the people that help the most people out in our clan.
For sure.
You know, we're trying to build up this end game clan that really wants to help other people. You know, the mules mm-hmm. of war, where we want to put ourselves on the map. How do we help other people prepare for Shadowkeep?
I'll say number one thing, start saving bounties now for XP purposes, because you're going to want to get your season pass thing up to level 7, because once you get to level 7, you're going to get your artifact. Everyone's going to get it at season pass level 7,
no matter which version you have.
No matter which version you have, it's there on the thing. It's level 7, at least that's what it shows, unless they change something between now and then. That is possible, but as of today, September 19, 2019, that is what it says. So you're going to want to get up to level 7 and get your artifact. Then once you do that, pop those bounties, because then you're going to want as much XP as possible to try to get as many perks as possible on your artifact to get yourself to that point.
Do you think the artifact is going to be null for the raid?
No, I think it's going to be active, because they talk about how the contest mode is going to be there. Actually in this week's TWAB, but it's only talking about power. It's not talking about
mods,
perks and things like that. It is all about power. Like, it's saying, and I don't know how they're anticipating this, but they're anticipating people be like 890 and like 920 for this. So I don't, they said power above 890 is not going to help you.
Okay,
power,
so they're going to do the same thing that they've done in the past, where they're capping out the power that is efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Contest is going to be active for every day one moving forward.
Gotcha.
Which I think is smart.
And it, I think and it smart. Has so, been for so the last few raids anyway, so it's not that big of a change.
Crown of Sorrows was the first
one. Crown of Sorrows was the first one.
Okay. I thought another one was. I thought, okay.
No, I mean, maybe I wasn't. Mean, having X amount of time, which is really like 5 days, I think 5 days is actually a good, like a good point to say, like, you know what, you've been playing Destiny a while, you can get to the point of, raid efficient, you know, raid efficacy, you know, pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
5 days. I think 5 days is reasonable.
So, you know, what's funny? What's I up? Just saw this. Some of the rules that are in the world's first, legal terms. It says that you have to defeat the boss, loot the chest, and return to orbit in order for your world first victory to be recorded so that they don't have another Datto situation like they did this past time.
Yeah, but Datto was actually 6 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, it had like, nothing to do with going right. to orbit and everything.
I know, but it's still kind of funny that they threw that in there.
Yeah.
So, because that was not in there last time. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
For me, like, if someone's gonna ask me what it would like, what I would do to gear up for Shadowkeep is what I've been doing since Forsaken dropped is go to the Tangled Shore, get your
materials
enhancement cores. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, enhancement cores more than anything else. And then if you're just doing things out in the open world, say if you're doing a flashpoint, which like I don't know who does flashpoints like pretty consistently now, unless you're like actively trying to get 50 or do certain milestones.
Yeah, your berry.
Collect your materials. I think materials are going to play a huge component in the mod system and like the leveling system moving
forward. It could.
So having and the fact that they stack up to 10,000 now, that you don't really have to worry about like having too many slots filled with materials, just do it.
Yeah, that's a huge welcome because I don't know about Dog, but I know Lupo and I, we got multiple stacks of weapon parts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've got time.
I would have 2 stacks of 10,000 by now.
Dang.
Oh, yeah, if I didn't delete some of them.
If I didn't delete a lot of them, yeah, 2 stacks of 10,000, easy.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's us. You know, we literally go out to no life these games and explore the content as fast as possible, but... What would you say for someone who's not playing as aggressively as we are? That makes you think.
Yeah,
I mean,
because it takes you out of your frame.
Your brain is trained to do this one way, so now that you have to think about doing it a different way, how would
I would say
for basically just prepping?
Just to say to get to Shadowkeep.
You've played Destiny pretty casually over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And now you're looking to get the most out of Shadowkeep. Maybe you're picking up some of your old weapons or finishing up some of the quests. Like, what else?
I'd have to say, yeah.
Like, I think getting there's definitely some weapons that you want to go out and get.
Finish existing quests. Make sure you've got your Outbreak for sure. At least the base version. Get your sleeper. Get any of those quest based things out of the way. I mean, we had our friend Gagne. He just recently did like the Mida multi-tool quest, and I was like, what the hell?
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Well, the other thing, so like he recently he switched from being a Titan main to a Warlock main. Now, this was a long time after Forsaken had dropped, so I can kind of understand there. And so we've been doing these raids and been trying to finish Crown of Sorrow. It took us a while. We finally got it. But we've had same team going through it for a while, and we're just having little issues. And one night, he was dying a lot for a few runs in a row. And I'm like, Gagne, you know that you're a warlock, and you have a healing grenade. You have a healing grenade. He's like, wait, what? How do I do that? I'm like, watch me, like, you hold the grenade button, you hold the grenade, and it turns white, and you throw it. And he's like, well, mine doesn't do that. I'm like,
oh, man.
Wait, what? So I go to look at his tree, and the guy hasn't even maxed out the tree yet. He had the first perk. And boy, did he get some flack for that.
Oh, and it will continue to happen until it's fully maxed out.
I won't stop because you know he's going to do something dumb in Shadowkeep, too.
We're going to have to keep on him.
Yes.
It's okay. Love you, Gagne. Love you long time. But the flak is coming. from Flack.
I'm Flack.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
The Flack from Flack.
The Flack from Flack.
But yeah, we've also got some sandbox changes that we're going
to. We can hit on this real quick.
Yeah, just hit on this real quick.
Because I think that the biggest thing that people have been wanting is a lot of the weapon changes that are happening. Scout rifles are getting a buff.
Yes.
Submachine guns, surprisingly, are actually getting a buff. It's a small buff. It's mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting. So
I mean, now that we've got our recluses.
Yeah. Auto rifles are going to see a buff. High fire rate, I guess it's aggressive frame, I think it's what it's called. Pulse rifles, they got a small buff.
That's like the Black Scorpion, probably. I think that's that class, which
it would,
in fact, is my favorite scout rifle, the only one that I will currently use.
There's some other things that got a buff as well, but there's two that I thought were really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best hand cannons I think it's the best one on PC to have fun with is the Sunshot.
Yes.
I know Ace of Spades is like running rampant in PC Crucible right now, but Sunshot's a lot of fun. And it's actually getting its magazine bumped up, which is really good. Makes it more viable to things. And something that I noticed, I don't know this to be fact, I don't know if it's true, but Crow and Lupo, you might be excited about this. Vesper Radius might actually see a buff to where its Rift ability may actually kill something.
What?
I know. Something? It may actually kill something.
Might actually do something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
so
is...
I think...
It is... Especially the ornament on those robes is one of the coolest looking robes in the game, at least for the ornament-wise. And at first, you think, oh, this is kind of going to be cool. Your Rift basically turns into a damage dealer. No.
Yeah, it doesn't do much. It just tickles them. But the reason why I bring that up is not because it's a joke. Vesper Radius hasn't been used, I think, in our fire team since it launched.
I've never ever. Used it.
So, yeah. The reason why I bring that up is because I think we can expect to see some exotic changes on some of this armor that is going to change the way that we play.
Mm-hmm.
I learned of some new builds just yesterday that I'm like, the auto reload thing, I have an exotic in my Seal Demacara grasp that actually auto reloads my weapons. I didn't even realize that's fully what it did, but I have a way to do that now. I have a way to auto reload if I need to. So there's things like that you see these things, you see these changes, it's going to make you use some different exotics.
Yeah, we're not only getting the nerfs to like Rally Barricade and Luna factions. We're actually getting some buffs.
You're going to see some different changes, I think. And I mean, again, that's not 100% proven yet. That was just on the Vidoc, but I'm hoping that there's some more. I'm hoping that, you know, the Aeons get kicked out of the freaking game or at least get a change.
Just delete them.
Yeah.
Make them green.
Every single time, just delete them.
Yeah. Yep. That's the sandbox stuff. And I'm excited for Destiny. I think it's going to be fantastic.
For sure.
So Shadowkeep launches October 1st on all platforms, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're going to get New Light, which is the free version of the game, accessible on all platforms as well. So basically, you get all of the year one content.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that they introduce in year two, like Gambit, multiple patrol zones.
All the planets.
Are gonna be free for all players.
Yeah,
so
all planets will be available.
You're going to see a lot of new faces on Destiny, I think. And I think it's just a great time to be a Guardian, man. Like, I've never been more excited to be a Destiny player than I am like right now, just because of how much they're going to offer to even the entry level players, you know, people that have just played the game for the first time now,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's really encouraging. Cross save is, you know, obviously still a thing. We've been checking it out as much as we can. Like I haven't jumped on PC in a while because of just Borderlands things, but, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
I really can't be more excited for the future of the Destiny franchise. Like I get so serious when I talk about it because I love it so much. I would literally only play Destiny if other games didn't exist, you know,
mm-hmm.
with no hesitation. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever get sick of it if there was nothing else to play.
I agree.
That's what does it. That's what takes me away from it the most. Is like there's other games that I do want to enjoy.
Yeah.
But like between the lore, the locations, the visuals, the sound effects, the playability, the replayability, everything, everything in Destiny just hits all the notes for me. And then if you want to just go be sweaty and play PvP, you can do that if you want. It's there. Yeah. Not everybody likes it, but it's there. At least in some form or fashion. But guys, usually we do this on a live stream. We do have our Mixer channel, mixer.com/MuleHornGaming. If you want to get to know more awesome streamers like us, visit thesheadteam.gg and find out more about the streaming community we are part of. If you want to like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes and or Podbean. Spotify. iTunes or Spotify, and you can follow us all on Twitter. And remember, when in doubt, blow it up.
Mayhem.
Screw you, mule. Screw you, mule.